Hello and welcome to Bicycle Talk on May 25th, 2016. Bicycle Talk Show is with my co-host here, Fran Storch, and we're going to talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. So last week when we were on, we had a really nice talk with Ken Kryatsky, who was listening in, and he called in and we got him on the phone. And Ken was he's a great guy because he was on the board of directors with me for the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition about 16 years ago. So we got to talk a lot of different things, but we were moving up towards Bike to Work Day, which was nationally last Friday. And there were many events throughout the United States in major cities where people were riding their bikes to work, and there were big celebrations going on. And we even had one here in beautiful downtown stores. So there was a nice little gathering down there, too, that was put together by Bike Mansfield, and Amber Pierce was there helping out, our local regional professional bicycle racer, which is very nice to have Amber there. Thank you very much for doing that, Amber. And anyway, it was a way for people to be recognized for their contributions to riding and committing to riding their bicycles to work, which is a great thing. Speaking of riding your bike to work, some people are looking at me like, how could I possibly ride my bike to work? I mean, it is like, you know, I've got these clothes I have to wear, and I've got, you know, where am I going to put my bike? How am I going to do this? What kind of bike do I ride? What if it rains? There's a lot of different things that you should know about being a bicycle commuter. It requires some preparation. So you really do have to look into different ways of taking care of yourself and understanding how it all works. First of all, there's your bike. What do you use for a bike? Well, you can use anything for a bike. You use the bike that works best to get you where you got to go. A road bike, maybe. A hybrid, possibly. Maybe a mountain bike. Whatever really that you have at your disposal that can get you where you got to go. If you're looking at a very, very hilly ride, obviously a bike with a lot of gears helps a lot. That makes it a lot easier to deal with the hills, getting you up and over and through. If you live in a very flat area, that's where things get a lot easier because you can go as little as one speed on your bike. You can do like just a single speed bicycle. When you go into a place like Boston or New York, any of the big cities, you'll see a tremendous amount of single speed bicycles being used for bike commuting because they're simple. They have no gears. They just have brakes and pedals, and that's it. So it really makes it easy.
And we just want to remind you here on Bicycle Talk, if you'd like to contribute to the conversation and you'd like to chime in, the number to call here is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also text us at that same number, 860-486-9487. And you can also write us at radionaturopath@gmail.com.
And there's also a new Gmail address that you can go to, which is pedlinrontalks@gmail.com. I created a new account.
Great.
So if you're looking to address anything, if you have any ideas that you want to contribute to the show, we're wide open here. This is a new show. We're learning as we go along, but we're really interested in hearing what you have to say about bicycling and your ideas in bicycling that we can bring out and bring to the spotlight. So anyway, back to the bicycle that you would use. So the best bicycle to use is the bicycle that you'll ride. You find one that fits you. You find one that works for you. As far as outfitting the bike goes, you would consider probably putting some equipment on the bike that will make it better for you for commuting. One of the things that works really well is a rack on the back of the bike. So if you have a bike that you can put a rack on the back, that's a great way to do it because with the rack, you can carry things. And you can put bags on the rack called panniers that work fairly well also. You can get them waterproof so that if you need to keep things from getting wet, you can have completely waterproof panniers that you could use to keep your clothes dry and your valuables dry, especially if you're carrying something like a laptop computer with you or something else you want to protect. The other thing you can do with the rack is you can actually, this was kind of a neat little tip. Somebody wrote in to me and we were talking about doing this riding to work. And she said, you know, I have to wear these really nice clothes. I have to wear a business suit when I go to work. And she said, it's taken me a little while to figure it out, but I found that the best method that works, and this works for both men and women, if you have clothes that you want to have protected, but you also want to make sure that they don't look like you just rode your bike to work in them, and you need to change, you simply take a dry cleaning bag, something, a big plastic bag, something that's waterproof, big plastic bag, and you simply roll the clothing up in the inside. You roll it up real, real tight, and then you can strap it onto the rack on the back. And then when you get to work, you unroll it, and everything looks clean and pressed and not a problem at all. So there are tricks to riding your bicycle to work and still looking like you didn't just show up on your bicycle. So there's ways around that. It's funny because I used that same method when I toured across the country many years ago. All my clothes were rolled. That's how I did it when I packed in my panniers, because otherwise you looked like you were completely wrinkled out and you just didn't look very good unless you had your clothes nicely, neatly rolled up. So that's another clever little thing that you can do. So that solves some problems there. The other thing you want to have on your bicycle is you want to make sure that you have a repair kit. You want to make sure that you can change a flat tire if you get a flat tire, because you will run into that occasionally. So they're probably the most common problems. So you want to be able to be prepared to change a flat. And if you don't know how to change a flat, then it's really important that you go visit your local bicycle shop and ask them, can you teach me how to change a flat tire? You're going to find that most of them are very accommodating, and some stores will actually even have either a bike club related to them, or they will have a seminar that they'll do where they'll actually get a number of people in at the same time, and they'll do a clinic, and they'll show you how to carry the right parts with you to do this, and also how to fix a flat. The tricky one, of course, is always taking that rear wheel off, because everyone gets all confused with the rear wheel. But once you've done it 3 or 4 times, it really becomes pretty simple. And once you start to understand how it works, it's not too bad either. But you're going to want to carry a pump. You're going to want to carry a pair of tire levers, which are these devices that you use to peel the tire off when it's on there really, really tight. You want a spare tube, or even maybe a couple of spare tubes if you're commuting fairly far. And possibly a patch kit, but patch kits, I'm not a huge believer in the patch kit, because if you've got to stop and patch the tire, it just takes a lot of time. I would rather put a fresh tube in, figure out where the flat came from. It's usually something that's stuck through your tire, and take care of the source of the problem, and then put your spare tube in and continue on. Another thing that I find as an essential that I would carry with me in a situation like this is a very small, and you can roll it up on anything, roll of duct tape, because duct tape is amazing when you get yourself in a pinch. And if you should have a very large gash in the tire, you could always take care of it that way in an emergency, in a pinch. The other thing that I have used, and anyone who's ever ridden with me has seen Ron do the dollar bill trick, and the dollar bill trick is that you just take U.S. currency, it's very, very strong, and you fold it over a number of times, and you put it into the inside of the tire, and it keeps the tube from going through the casing of the tire if you have a really bad gash in your casing. So that works well, too. There's a lot of tricks that you learn along the way, and the more you ride your bike back and forth to work, the more you realize that, you know, it's really not that big a deal. There's very, very simple things that you can do. Another thing, you know, you can do is remember this bike is, this is not your, if you're an enthusiast, this is not your lightweight racing bike. This is probably going to be a bike that is a little more utilitarian oriented. So it may be a little heavier. So it doesn't matter that you start adding things onto it, like putting a bell on there. If you're coming into traffic or coming into pedestrian areas and you want people to know that you're coming up around them, you can ring the bell and let them know that you're there, which is helpful. Definitely with other cyclists and pedestrians. You can also, you can carry a number of different bags on the bike for carrying different items, depending on how much you choose to go back and forth with. Some people like to actually go to work, and when they get done with work, they like to stop at the grocery store on the way home, pick up a few items, and then ride home. So you would need a significant bag in which to do that. They actually make bags called grocery bag panniers, which is an open pannier, and it hooks right onto the back of a rack, and it has a strap on it. You can walk into the grocery store, you can shop using the bag, and you go up to the counter, you pay for your items, and then walk out, and you've got everything already in the bag and ready to go. So that's another thing that you can do, which works well. Some people choose to be very, very minimal, and they will use something like a backpack or a messenger bag. A backpack is a little cumbersome, tends to be a little hot, and it's it can be a little bit more difficult to carry. But I choose a very light one when I commute, because I commute back and forth to the gym a lot, because I also teach a couple of fitness classes at our local gym. So anyway, you could use something like that, and you can carry the bare essentials in a messenger bag or a backpack. Okay. And the messenger bag is a little bit different. It's more like a briefcase type of item. And it just goes around your back and sits very nicely on your back. So it's very comfortable to wear and doesn't get in your way. And it's perfect for carrying all these other things, including maybe your lunch and a change of clothes might even fit in there too. So anyway, we have a caller apparently, Fran. What's going on there?
Yes, we do. We have a caller, and we've got, I believe, Mike from Ashford on the line. Hello, Mike.
Yes, good morning. My name is Michael, and I'm from Eastford, Connecticut.
Hi,
right,
Michael from
Ashford.
Eastford.
Most cyclists know our area in Eastford pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eastford's beautiful. You're out there in the country, and where there are many roads to ride on and zoning is unavailable.
Yeah, correct. I'm from Hartford originally, and I lived my whole life in Hartford, moved out here primarily for the cycling. It's just beautiful.
Oh, my God. It's like culture shock moving out to Eastford from Hartford.
That's
what a big change.
That is for sure.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're enjoying that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm glad you're enjoying that. That's great.
I have three commuter questions that I'd like to see addressed if possible.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
I am a retired school teacher, and I taught in East Hartford for a very long time. And one of the things that I would do would be to drive my car to exit 68, or mm-hmm. 67, excuse me, and with my bicycle on the car, and then I would commute into East Hartford, to East Hartford Middle School on Burnside Avenue.
Great.
With my bike. And I found some serious issues that maybe you can address and help other people with. The three issues would be, number one, the route,
yeah.
Number two, showers, and number three, storing the bike. One of the things that I found was that I could get off at exit 67 and take some beautiful back roads and hook up with the rail trail into Manchester.
Absolutely.
The problem I had was from Manchester into East Hartford, and I think for people going from that point, if they were anywhere on the east side of the river, to cross through Manchester and East Hartford into Hartford is an absolute nightmare.
Yes, it is. I experienced that last week, actually, because I did the National Bike to Work Day into Hartford from Willimantic. And we used the rail trail quite a way. And we rode up to Bolton Notch on the Hop River Trail. And then we did a few roads back and forth, and we picked up the Charter Oak Trail. Are you familiar with the Charter Oak Trail?
Is that the new one that goes into Manchester?
It runs along Route 384, so
yeah.
It has been there for a number of years, but they keep extending it further and further and further, and within a year, it is supposed to connect to Bolton Notch. So that's going to be a big deal, because that will help a lot of people who are trying to get into Hartford. The one drawback to it that I see is that you're still going to have to climb all the way up to Bolton Notch, which is a sizable climb on the Charter Oak Trail, although on the Hop River Trail coming out of Vernon, it's only a 2% grade, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah, I found the Hop River Trail to be pretty good. I'm just wondering if you have any knowledge of any updates on routes going from Manchester through East Hartford and Hartford. I would get onto Union Street and then over onto Tolland Turnpike to get into East Hartford, and over onto Burnside Avenue. But
right.
People have literally been killed on Burnside Avenue riding their bicycles.
And I find Burnside to be far safer than Silver Lane, which is the other option. So
yeah, I was just wondering I know that Burnside Avenue may be reconfigured to become more bicycle friendly. I was wondering if you have any knowledge on that.
I have no knowledge on it, but I was getting a little tutorial when I was riding in with my friend David Wahlberger last week, and he was showing me that if you take a look on I-84, there's where the old movie theaters were.
Yes.
There is a bike path that is going to be coming right through there, and that is going to connect with the piece that apparently, you know how you can take the Charter Oak Trail into Forbes Street? Well, that's going to continue that on into Hartford by way of East Hartford. So there are plans for the future. I don't know what the actual date is on that, and I can find out and let you know next time we're on. But there is a plan. There definitely is a plan to extend it all the way in, because you're right, it gets real tricky. I was fortunate. I rode in with someone who lived in East Hartford for a number of years, and he showed me every back road I've never known about in East Hartford, and we just kind of scooted back and forth until we finally ended up on Burnside Ave. When we came out on Burnside Ave, it was really wide, had a very large shoulder, and it was definitely much more bicycle-friendly than I have remembered it to be in the past. We took it all the way out to Main Street. When we got to Main Street in East Hartford, we came out really close to the town hall, if you know where that is.
Yes, I do.
And then we just went down. Main Street is Route 5, and we just went down just a little ways, and we were at the Founders Bridge, and we're crossing over into Hartford. So it wasn't much time at all on busy roads, but you do have to kind of know your way around. So that brings me to an interesting point here, and that I was going to make, and that is that, you know, if you're trying to figure out how you're going to commute, you need to really study your maps carefully and start planning different ways of attacking your route, and try to keep yourself off of the busiest roads as much as you possibly can, so you don't end up with a high exposure rate, because the higher your exposure, the more chances you have of being hit. But if you have any tips, since you did commute in there, about other roads to take, we'd be wide open to hearing those.
Wearing very bright colors is very helpful. And I've seen a new shirt recently showing up on commuters saying 3 feet, please, which is
yes.
the law.
Yes.
And I think getting the education out there that people really need to give some rights to the people who are on the road on their bicycles, which they are entitled to, and being respectful of those rights.
And that 3-foot rule is very important. That was incorporated a number of years ago here in Connecticut, and a lot of people are not aware of it, but that is another issue which needs to be addressed, and hopefully Connecticut Bike Walk, which is a governing organization that helps distribute this information, they will get more and more done over the years. But one thing that I would like to see, and I have requested from them in the past, is that there's a cooperation with the Department of Transportation and the DMV, and every time you get a license renewal and or a registration renewal for your motorized vehicle, that there is a piece of information in there which explains all the new bicycle and pedestrian laws that are out there. Because that 3-foot rule is a big deal. If you, the first offense on that is if you are are within 3 feet of a cyclist or less, and you don't give them enough room, it's a $100 fine. Now, of course, you have to be caught doing it, which is part of the problem. And the unfortunate part about it, and all of us that are into bicycle advocacy in the state, and the part that we complain about, is that the only time that $100 is usually fined to the driver is when they hit a cyclist or hit a pedestrian. So that's not the right way to have to enforce it. But right now, that's what we have. So they end up with an extra charge other than the fact that they misused a highway and hit someone. So that we're working on it. I think we're going to see more and more action as the years go on, as the roads are very congested and alternative transportation is, you know, a thing that needs to be addressed a lot more, especially in this state. We have a small state. We have a lot of cars in it, and we need to address these issues. But there is a local group. It's actually a statewide group called Bicycle Walk Connecticut. So Bike Walk Connecticut is what it is, and you can address that. You can find that online, and you can become a member if you wish, and they are an advocacy group which is focusing on exactly what you're talking about. So very good things.
May I pass along a tip?
Yes.
One of the tips I would give to bicycle commuters is that for myself, one of the things I would do is I would keep my clothes at work. I would bring in once a week, twice a week, I would bring in all my clothes, all pressed, all ready to go. So when I got to work, I could just jump into them instead of having to carry them. Saved a lot of weight, brought my commute time down considerably, and that's very helpful for sure.
That's a wonderful suggestion. I had a friend who used to drive in on Monday, and he would bring all of his clothes with him. And so he would drive in on Monday, and he would drive in on Friday, and to bring everything back home. And but the other days, he would ride his bike back and forth.
Yeah, it works very, very well.
Yeah.
Which leads me to a question that you might be able to address for listeners. I, being at a school, was fortunate enough to have showers available to me and a locker room so I could store my bike and take a shower in the morning and be fresh in front of my students instead of smelly. but I think most people, aside from the root factor and actually bicycling, might find it very hard to, when getting to work, have a shower available to them and have a place for their bike. I was wondering if you have any ideas. I know that I have relatives in France, and over there they actually have like bike garages.
Yes, they do.
Where you can store your bike, and they have shower facilities and lockers that you can rent.
It's amazing, and they have a key card. You just swipe the key card, and you go into the facility. They hand you a towel. You rack your bike. It's secure. It stays there all day long. No problem. You go back at the end of the day after you're done with work. You hop on your bike and ride home. The communities in Europe are just so much more transportation savvy for bicycles than we are here in the U.S., but we are getting there. There are definitely some cities that are starting to address this more. I would love to see it in a city like Hartford, where there are a number of people that could commute in. It would be so nice to have a facility like that.
And what about the facility in stores?
And then we have one of those in stores.
Really?
We actually have that in the transportation center, in stores. We have that exact facility. We have a place you can securely lock your bicycle for the day, and we have showers available. So
is that something run by the school, or is that an independent or an independent group?
That is run by, good question.
Is it the town, or is
it? It's the town, Bike Mansfield. Yeah, it's the Bike Mansfield group that really is involved with that. Lon Holkren. We'll have Lon on sometime in the near future as soon as I pin him down. I'd like to have him on because he can give everyone an earful as to how that worked. He was our town engineer here in town before he retired, and very bike friendly and bike savvy. And so he was responsible for this center going in at the transportation center. The transportation center is also the place that the buses come in that are carrying students in and out of campus out to, you know, the main arteries. So it was a really nice design to throw into the package when they were building the buildings over in downtown stores. So we have it right here. And so, you know, progress will happen if you plan it. And that's the key, is that you have to get involved, which is why if there is any planning going on in your town, and I'm not even going to talk about Eastford because I know.
No planning here.
No planning there. No. But no offense to all of you out in Eastford,
nope,
by the way.
Cows.
But we just know, and you have beautiful roads. We love your roads. Anyway, but it is very rural. But if you're in a bigger town and you're listening and they are planning to do any kind of a transportation center at all, this is something that belongs there. It's something that you should really try to work into the budget because
Well, I hope somebody
really
in
works.
Hartford gets a hold of this idea and can run with it either through the city, or I know that they are strapped for money. Maybe some entrepreneur can come up with a good scheme where it would be profitable to put a nice bicycle garage facility in.
Well,
I know there are a lot of people that would love to ride into town.
Right. My angle is to get the major employers that are in downtown Hartford are obviously insurance-based, and it seems like a collaboration amongst the insurance companies would be a really good idea here, that they could finance it, or in some way one of them could maybe even run it out of one of their buildings. There's a number of ideas that I think should be presented in the future to them. Back to the showers. Okay, the showers are a big deal because, you know, as you know, if your commute is over 5 miles and you rode in on a warm day, you're going to get pretty sweaty and you're going to need to do something about that. So a shower is always a welcome thing. If you do not have a shower facility at work, then sometimes you have to improvise. And the best thing to improvise with, and something that bicycle tourists and commuters have been using for years, are baby wipes. Because baby wipes will freshen you up if you need to do that. You bring a washcloth with you. You can rinse off in the sink and in a bathroom and kind of get yourself, you know, get the sweat off of you from that, and then use the baby wipe to really kind of, you know, finish off and get anything on you that might be unfriendly, let's say, like bacteria that would be smelly. So baby wipes are another way of improvising. And another thing is, if there's any chance of having a locker at work, that's a great thing too. These are things, if you are very serious about riding your bicycle to work, talk to your employer and see what you can do about getting them to come up with an idea of a place that you can safely lock your bike for the day, and also maybe a locker that you could put your clothes in, so you'd have a place to hang your clothes for the week, or change your, you know, off out of your cycling clothes into your regular clothes. These are things that if you ask nicely, you can get these things, but you do have to pay attention to that. And here's another big one too: get two or three other people at work to do the same thing. Now you have some numbers. Now you have a reason. Now you have a little bit more clout, and you can get them to pay attention to the fact that you're saving gas, you're not congesting the highways with your car, you're not being environmentally unfriendly because you are riding your bike in. And quite honestly, when you get to work after you've ridden your bike there, you're far more productive.
Oh, that's for sure. Wide awake and ready to go.
Yeah, you sure are, especially on those cold mornings.
Yes, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
well, I want to
you
thank
know,
you very much for taking my questions.
Well,
I really
thank you so much
it.
For calling in. This is great. I really appreciate your calling in and listening to the show. And if you have any more comments to give us, please, please call back.
All right, congratulations. Look forward to hearing more.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so you're listening to Bicycle Talk on WHUS 91.7 FM, and we would love for you to participate in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can text to that same number, 860-486-9487, and you can also write in at radionaturopath@gmail.com.
So that was a wonderful call to have someone call in that actually has been a commuter over the years and gave us some great tips and nice things to discuss about this. There's, it can be done. And what he did, this is a really interesting thing, because this is another possibility that you have. You have the possibility of driving your car part of the way. So you can take, you can drive your car, let's say you drive your car halfway because you live quite a way from work. And so you look at it and go, you know, I could ride in 10 miles and then I could ride 10 miles back to my car. But my commute, if I ride all the way, is 20 miles. That's 40 miles a day. That's a lot of riding on your bike. And, you know, I know people that do it. I know that people do it all the time. A friend of mine does it, and he uses it as part of his training for racing because it's a way for him to get the miles in. It is possible. But driving your car in part way or your vehicle in part way and parking in a commuter parking lot is a great way to get yourself started with this whole commute idea. And it really makes it more feasible. So bite off only what you can chew. Don't bite off too much, because if you do, you're going to get discouraged very quickly. If it means just getting 5 miles from work and then parking the vehicle and riding your bike from there, you'll be amazed at that little 5 mile trip in, at how much more pleasant it is when you get to work, because all those people that are stuck in all that traffic, you no longer have to worry about anymore because you're on your bicycle. You're just riding your bike in. A lot of times you'll have a shoulder available for you, or you'll be off on a back road. You'll never even see the traffic in that case. So there are ways of just getting to work with a much better peace of mind than having to sit in traffic. And then when you finally get there, if you're in a busy urban environment, you have to park the car. You have to park it in a garage. You have to go around in circles until you finally find a space. And then you park your car. You have to pay a fee for that, which is usually another expense that's added onto your commute. And then at the end of the day, you've got to deal with getting out of that garage. So this, all this time is spent getting in and out of the garage and parking your car. Your 5 miles is over. You're back and out of work and out of town and on your way home. So look at it from that standpoint. How much time do you spend sitting in your vehicle stopped? Because that is a factor. So the next time you're in your car and you're driving to work, look at that. Time it out. See how long it takes you. You know, you probably know what it is already, because hopefully you factored that in on your morning commute and your nighttime commute for getting yourself back home. And so you know how much time you sit still in your car. It's more than it should be. And that time that you're sitting there still is time that you could be riding your bicycle. So that's another thing to look at. The mapping your route, I talked about this just a little bit. It's not always going to be the shortest distance that you're going to go. You may have to go around a few turns here and there to keep yourself on the back roads. I refer to it like sailing. You're kind of tacking, like you would tack into the wind. You go east for a little while, and then you go west for a little while, and you go back and forth, and you just use your side roads and use the roads that are less traveled, and you'll find it a safer way to get yourself to work. If you go on the main arteries on your bicycle, that main artery better have either a bike lane or a very large shoulder, because it's tricky out there when you're amongst that much exposure to traffic. So you do have to pay attention to that sort of thing. So make it a challenge. Take a look at it. See what you can do. See what you can find that will work for you. Map out a route. Try that one day. If that doesn't work, try a different one. And now that we have all these wonderful apps out there, there's just, you know, Google Maps, all these different apps that are out. You can find your way in without too much difficulty. Even if you get lost, you can always Google it in.
Well, I have used Google Maps. So Google Maps has a function. If you use Google Maps, if you have your smartphone, just make sure your smartphone is charged up. But Google Maps, you can, you know, very easily plug in, I want to get from where I am to wherever it is you want to get to. Mm-hmm. And it has a selection. Do you want to go by bike, car?
Walk. It has a walk
bike, car, walk,
too.
And I think it might have a couple. It might be bus, too.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yes.
So you know where the bus stops are. But anyway, it has a bicycle one, too. And the bike route is going to be different than the car route. And so it takes you off the main roads. And I was on this wonderful ride this weekend, Wheels for Meals. And I was almost back, and I had crossed the Thompson Dam, and they didn't have a marker for me to turn left on Reardon Road. So I kept going, and I got to the intersection of, 193 and Route 12?
Maybe,
and I'm like, where do I'm not sure what to do now. It was confusing. So I kept going, and then I'm like, you know what? This isn't right. And I, because I hadn't seen markers, I just pulled up my Google Maps at from where I was to the address of where I had to be, and it pulled it right up. And I was able to follow it back. It talks to you. It ran simultaneously with my workout app because I was using DigiFit, and it worked. It ran simultaneously with that. And it got me back, no problem. And it, and like I said, it talks. So you, Google Maps will do that for you. The other thing you can do is, you know, that you can use, so many local people use Map My Ride and other apps like that. So there are ride routes posted from here to there. So that's another way to do it.
Right. There's Map My Ride. There's Ride with GPS. A few different ones that are out there. And they all work very good. They're all related around Google Map. I believe Google Map is the base for most of them.
So what we'll probably do is we'll have a show that will dedicate either all or part of the show to what are the best workout apps.
Yeah, and understanding the technology that's now available to us that we never had years ago. You know, years ago I would go out for a ride, and I used to I lived with a couple of other bicycle racers. We were all kind of wacky sick with this riding thing, and we rode our bikes everywhere, and we went out and we bought those topo maps that you could buy, and we had them taped up all over one of the walls in our apartment.
What's a topo map, Ron?
A topographical map. It's it has all the roads, and it shows all the hills and the grades and the elevations, and so it's this great map that you can use, and you could look and go, oh my God, look at that road, look what it goes up, I wonder what that's like. And then we would go out and we'd explore and come back and tell war stories, basically, about, you know, how we found this unbelievable impossible climb, or we found this really cool road that went all the way around that. And so, you know, explore, it's fun, it's like being a kid on a bike again. It's a great thing. And so you can do all this to find your way around, and the information now is just so much more readily available than it used to be, and of course electronically now too, so you can actually pick it up as you're riding if you have a phone that is capable of that sort of thing. So there's great ways of doing it. And then there's also, you know, there's Garmin makes a computer slash, well, it's a computer for your bicycle, and it's a GPS unit, and it will basically put you wherever you want. You can put your route that you've mapped out at home and load it into the actual computer or smartphone that you're using, and it will guide you turn by turn to where you need to go. So, yeah, there's some great stuff out there for doing this. So one of the points that was made by our caller was there was a talk about staying safe, and he mentioned wearing very bright clothing. Well, that's another thing that we have that we had not had years ago, and we have some very, very bright clothing available at your local running stores, bicycle stores, sporting goods stores. You will find some extremely bright, not just a reflective vest, but very, very bright clothing that you can wear that's very functional too. Clothing that will keep you dry, clothing that will keep you warm, and also make sure that you are just so incredibly visible that no one who is paying attention while they're driving their car, I make that a very loose term, will possibly miss seeing you. The other thing that's out there, and this is really important too, is there are a number of wonderful lights that are available now for your bicycle. The ones that really capture the attention of the drivers are the ones that flash, the blinky lights. We call them blinkies. And there are some that are visible up to a mile away. They have such incredible, powerful beams on them. So those attract attention. They will let the cars know that you are there. I highly recommend one on the front as well as on the rear. If you are commuting, have them on during the day. You keep your car headlights on during the day. Keep this light on during the day. You're much, much more visible when you do that. Those are good things. You can, as far as I'm concerned, you can never have enough of these on. I know it's obnoxious, but you know what? They'll see you. They'll see you. And they may complain about you being that person with all those lights all over your bike. But
good,
you know
they
what?
Saw you.
They saw you. So that's real, real important. The other thing is you need to learn how to ride in traffic. And riding in traffic is a skill. There are some classes that are taught by instructors that have been taught by the League of American Bicyclists. And I know our friend Dave is one of those instructors. And there are classes offered occasionally. Bike Mansfield has offered some classes through the community center. There will be more of those coming up again this fall. So you can find in your local community, you can probably find a place that will have a league-trained person, instructor, who can show you how to ride in traffic. Simple tips, and one that I learned years ago, when riding in traffic, be traffic. You have to become traffic. You have to remember, when you get into a larger city, the traffic's not going that fast. So chances are that you can very easily blend into traffic. So if you're far to the right, trying to be as safe as you can, and all of a sudden, you know, you have in another quarter mile or so, you have a left turn coming up, you work your way out into traffic. Get yourself out to that center line, get out into the middle of the road, because you want to be visible. And when you're on the right-hand side of the road and very far to the right, you're not visible. There have been studies shown that it's better to ride a little further out into the road, because then the car will really know you're there and they won't try to squeeze by you and therefore not pass you in a safe way. So when you do this, the drivers are less inclined to squeeze by when they go by and endanger you. It's legal, it's safe, and again, it's the best way to handle certain traffic situations. Make sure you do it cautiously. You want to signal first. You want to use your hands. Use your hands, use your eyes, point to the cars, point right at the drivers if they're coming in the opposite direction. Just point right at them so they see you. 9 times out of 10, you'll get a quick wave off of the steering wheel, because they'll realize that you're actually communicating with them. And the communication is key here. You have to let people know that you're aware of them, so they're aware of you. Don't be obnoxious about it. Just be safe about it. And be, do it like you're driving your car. You know, if you ride in traffic like you're driving a car, then you'll be far safer than you will be if you're tossed way off to the right-hand side of the road. So be aware of everything around you, and be aware of the fact that drivers can't see you. You know, you want to be constantly scanning for drivers. They're not looking for bicycles. They're looking for cars. And that's a big deal, and that's something that you really have to pay attention to, because they're just not aware of you. Motorcycles have the same problem. Because they have an issue with driving and their motorcycles in traffic with cars, because the cars are always looking for another car. They're never looking for a different vehicle. And you'll see that people who are experienced on their motorcycles, they ride out close to the center line. The reason they do that is because you can see them when they're out there. You can't see them when they're far off to the right. So very, very important to do that. That pretty much covers most of what I was going to talk to you about as far as the commuting issue goes. Again, if anyone has any ideas and they want to write into us, they feel free to do so. You can send in to, I have a separate Gmail address now, pedlinron, that's pedlinrontalks, pedlinrontalks@gmail.com. And you can send me over an email, and we will try to discuss this on the show, or Fran will give you the rest of the details about texting us.
Yes. So you can call in at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. And you can text us at that same number, 860-486-9487. And you can write in if you would like to ask a question right away to radionaturopath@gmail.com because I'm sitting here and I can see it. And if he's talking, I don't know if he can get his email as quick. But radionaturopath@gmail.com during the show is perfectly acceptable.
Great. Great. So anyway, these are important little tips here if you're going to be a bike commuter. This is a great year to become a bike commuter. Let's think about that. This is your chance to go out and give this a try and see how it all works and understand that this is a very, very easy thing to do. And boy, I got to tell you right now, the day that the gas prices go skyrocketing back up again is the day that you'll really appreciate being a bicycle commuter because everything changes. Everyone is, they're all paying really high prices at the pump and you are simply just, riding your bike and saving a lot of money and saving a lot of stress. And we have a caller?
We do. We have Bruce from Lebanon on the line.
Wonderful. Hello,
hey,
Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm well, better now because I'm enjoying your show.
Oh, great!
Awesome.
All right.
Hey, I wanted to make a point. You talked about motorcyclists riding sort of like into the left of the lane, and this might be appropriate for cyclists too. One of the reasons that we do that is because the center of every lane usually is where all the oil and grease from cars accumulates.
Oh, good point.
And it's very slippery, and you don't want to go too close to those painted lines, which I know you know.
Oh, I do.
That's pretty slippery, too.
Especially if they're wet.
Oh, my God, yeah. What I was going to ask you, and I really enjoyed your caller, who was talking about commuting into East Hartford. I thought that exchange that you two had was really, really awesome.
Thank you.
But when you talk about commuting by bicycle, which I've never done, what change in mindset do you have to have when you're preparing to launch out on this? I mean, I one of the things to me is obvious is you can't be thinking of in terms of I'm going to get there quickly. Compared to your car.
No, not at all. You really have to, allocate a little extra time. That's for sure. And another thing, another point that I had meant to make earlier was a lot of times, if you look at it, let's say you have a 5 mile commute to work. That's the national average is between 5 and 10 miles to work. That's where people usually live. Not everybody does, and we're definitely in a more rural area, so it's not as much so here. But as you get into the more urban areas, you're usually only about 5 or maybe 10 miles at the most from work. So makes it very, very achievable. When you ride into work, you allow yourself a lot of extra time, and you just go slow. Don't go fast. Just kind of cruise along and, realize that it's not a race to get to work. It's a leisurely ride in that if you do that, you don't end up sweating as much. You don't end up being you don't feel like you're exhausted when you get there, which you probably wouldn't anyway if you commute every day because you're going to be very fit. But if you just plan on making it a nice slow journey and take in your surroundings and also pay really, really close attention to everything that is around you when you're taking your surroundings. Make sure you understand where the traffic flow is, keeping your eyes open. You really are kind of have to be on alert all the time. You definitely do. It requires a little more attention than it would if you were, I'm not going to say it would if you're driving a car. You're supposed to use the same kind of attention when you're driving your car too, but it doesn't always work out that way. But you want to, you want to just really, make sure that you're really paying attention all around you and you'll see so much more too. It's really kind of amazing. You have to be a little more aggressive when you're riding your bike in.
Well, I will say this, Ron, and I've had this discussion with other people actually recently. Riding a motorcycle was, and I've been riding since around 1975, was the best thing I ever did for driving a car. Because on a motorcycle, you cannot take anything for granted. You have to anticipate everything that might happen, and you have to know where your escape routes are if something does happen in front of you. And to me, this is exactly what you have to do on a bicycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that's you mentioned the escape routes. I like that. That's a really good tip right there. You're always looking for your options. You can't assume that the drivers of motorized vehicles are going to be nice to you, because they usually aren't. So you have to kind of, I mean, I shouldn't say they usually aren't, but we have had some wonderful bicycle rides, and rides that I know that you have been on with me, where the cars have been very considerate and very courteous. And to those of you who are considerate and courteous to cyclists, we salute you. We really appreciate that, because we are just people on bikes. We're not trying to cause a problem here. We just like to ride our bikes.
You make a very good point, Ron, because my experience in riding bikes, and I haven't ridden as long as you, but I've ridden for 25 years. My experience has been that 99% of the people in cars are at the very least reasonable about this whole thing. And I always appreciate some of the reactions of people in cars when they want to either give me space or help me in some way. And I will tell you that I have a little anecdote. One day I was riding up in Lebanon. I was coming to the town hall where we actually do have a flashing light. So I came up there, and there were cars coming in every direction. And a police officer came in. And as I approached, he put on his light. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, don't tell me I've done something wrong on a bicycle. It turned out he got in the intersection and stopped all the cars so that I could go through.
So you could go through. Now that's...
And I was like, this is awesome.
That's great. That's above and beyond the call of duty. But, you know, obviously he saw a situation. He wanted to make sure that you were safe. That is his job, is to make sure that you're safe. And
that was
outstanding that he would do something like that. That's really wonderful.
And it speaks to another point, too, which is a lot of times people on bicycles, you're talking about, you know, getting into the lane with traffic to make your left-hand turn. And a lot of us, and I know this is always in the back of my mind, when you get into traffic, you're kind of feeling like, I'm on a bicycle, this is for cars, I don't really belong here. But the truth of the matter is, you do belong there.
You do, absolutely.
The roads
were designed for transportation. Transportation does not necessarily mean that it is only cars and trucks.
Correct. And I think if you look at the motor vehicle regulations, I believe bicycles are considered vehicles.
Yes, they are. And actually, in next week's show, I'll be talking about that a little bit more, because there's a whole segment that has gone through with the Department of Transportation. There's something called Complete Streets, and we'll go through that next week when we talk on the show and explain that. There's actually a very large document online that you can download that is all about the Complete Streets program here in Connecticut. So it's, you know, we are transportation. You have to understand that. We are vehicles. We are transportation. And we will cover that the next time. It's a good point.
Well, I have to go set up a bike for a ride tonight. And I just wanted to thank you. I think this is a wonderful thing. And I'm really glad that Fran's there with you, because it just adds to the entertainment and the interest. So thank you very much to both of you for doing this.
Well, thank you very much, Bruce, for calling in, and have a great ride today.
Thanks. See you later.
All right, thanks.
All right, so you're listening to WHUS 91.7 FM. You're listening to Bicycle Talk here on WHUS. And if you would like to contribute to the conversation, the number to call, we have just a few more minutes left, but the number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. And you can text us at that same number, 860-486-9487. And you can write in to radionaturopath@gmail.com.
I have a couple of things I'd like to finish off our show with here, and that is there are a couple of events coming up very soon. One is an event which is sponsored through the Bike Walk Connecticut group, and it is a Bike Walk Summit, and it is on Friday, June 3rd, 2016. It's in the Constitution Room at Memorial Hall, Central Connecticut State University, New Britain, Connecticut. And it is a summit, both pedestrian and also cycling oriented, and it features a gentleman by the name of Mark Fenton, who is a national public health planning and transportation consultant and former host of America's Walking series on PBS television. And he's going to discuss the latest news and ideas on the complete streets plans for the Connecticut bikeways and greenways, legislative and funding developments, and more. So anyway, that is coming up on Friday, June 3rd, 2016. You can get more information at www.bikewalkct.org. And you'll find all the listings for upcoming events that are happening through Connecticut Bike Walk. So anyway, I am going to be attending that, and I am anxiously awaiting to come back and talk more about what I learn when I go there, because this is something that I will be using as a betterment of my knowledge of cycling and transportation in general. So anyway, that is coming up very soon. And then the other thing that I have here on my schedule that's coming up soon is on June 18th, Saturday, June 18th, will be the Tour de Mansfield. The Tour de Mansfield is a bicycle tour. And it is the John Jackman Tour de Mansfield. John E. Jackman was a friend of ours who we used to ride with all the time. And unfortunately, John became ill, and he has passed away. But they named the tour after him. And he was just a great guy, former fire marshal, Mansfield resident. And that is coming up on Saturday, June 18th, 2016. If you need more information, you can call the Mansfield Community Center. That pretty much brings us towards the end of our show here. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, and we are here talking about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, and the bicycle business. We'd like you to have a safe and wonderful day where every day is great, as long as you're riding your bike. My name is Ron Meniza. I'd like to thank you very much for listening.